Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev, Text 33. Turi Bhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varnam Ravikara Ghoravara Ambaram Dhadhane Vapur Alaka Kala Vrita Nanu Bhajam Vijaya Shake Ratir Ashtume Navadhyā. Translation, Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of a tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. Purport. When Sri Krishna, in his own internal pleasure, appears on the earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything materially created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as his intimate friend. Bhishma Dev, on his bed of arrows, after the battle of Kurukshetra, is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy, Arjuna, for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma takes the opportunity to address the Lord as Vijay Sake, a friend of Arjuna. It's a nice name, Vijay Sake Das. Because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees, who related to him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma. As a great fighter, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the shiverless humor. Transcendental relationship with the Lord in any one of the different rasas is relishable by the respective devotee in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendentally related with the Lord artificially, jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Braj. Such a cheap relationship with the Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner, because one who has relished the conjugal humor of the Lord cannot be attached to the worldly conjugal ras, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. The eternal relation of a particular soul with the Lord is evolved. A general relation of the living entity with the Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this, and it should be carefully observed how that great general is transcendentally related to the Lord. Whoa, quite deep. So here in this verse of Bhagavatam, we hear of the particular meditation of Bhishma Dev on Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's meditating according to his particular rasa, his particular humor, relationship with Krishna. He's meditating on the Lord in a shiverless way on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. This is, in essence, real meditation. Meditation is nothing, it's never meant to be anything impersonal, as is conceived or practiced today, especially in Western countries. Meditation means anything but the form of the Lord. Meditation really means to fix all the mind and all the senses on the personality of Godhead. And in this way, by constant meditation, one evolves one's deeper spiritual nature. Just like the caterpillar, it's quite an ugly creature, but it evolves to its higher form, which is a butterfly, beautiful butterfly, by curling up and going into a cocoon and more or less meditating on its higher form. And at some point it bursts forth from the cocoon and acquires its higher nature, which is butterfly. It can fly, flitter here and there. The caterpillar is stuck to the ground with its multitude of little legs, but a butterfly is free to travel here and there. So in the same way, the devotee develops his inner relationship with Krishna by meditating on a particular form of the Lord. This actually comes in an advanced stage. All of us have a preordained relationship with Krishna, hopefully in one of the four mellows of servitorship or friendship or parentalhood or conjugal love. That's there. It's imprinted in your heart. And at a certain stage, your relationship with Krishna is revealed to you, your siddhadeha. That's a very advanced stage, but it comes. The spiritual master will reveal to you what is your dormant relationship with Krishna. And then you follow in the footsteps of another devotee who has that relationship with Krishna. When you study the Nectar of Devotion, or you study the Krishna book, or the Srimad Bhagavatam, you're attracted to a particular devotee who has the same relationship. And you study that devotee's characteristics, you study that devotee's service, his attitude, etc., and you follow in that devotee's footsteps. Generally, that devotee's a resident of Vrindavan. Of course, that's a very advanced stage, and if one's spiritual master is not present in his physical form at that time, then through his instructions, it's all revealed, primarily through the potency of the holy name. The spiritual master instructs us to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama. And that instruction will itself, because it's none different than the Lord, that will reveal this very sweet relationship. But there's a lot of work to do before that. There's a lot of cheto darpana marjanam. There's a lot of cleansing the heart before we come to the stage of evolving into our original relationship with the Lord. We have a lot of spring cleaning to do. Now's the spring, so of course, devotees are always clean. Their houses are always very clean. We were visiting the Sringa's house the other day. That was very pakach, very clean. What, did she's here? Why? No, she's having a baby, maybe. Any moment now. But her house is very pakach, very clean. So devotees are very clean, cleansing. But the heart is particularly a great challenge for the devotee, because we've accumulated so much dirt due to our long association with the material energy from time immemorial. So we have to cleanse that heart before we really discuss or engage in this advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. But it's good to know about it as well. And this is very nicely described by Bhishma Dev here, that he's meditating on the Lord, and he says, after describing the beautiful features of the Lord, he's praying that this beautiful form of the Lord, to whom he's particularly attracted, Krishna on the battlefield, he said, may this Lord always be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire any fruit of results. So this is the essence of our philosophy, actually. Pure devotional service means there's no personal motivations. It's just to please Krishna. Prabhupada once said, lust means for me and love means for Krishna. So in the concept of love or pure devotional service to the Lord, there's no personal consideration. It's everything for Krishna. Anibilasita sunyam jnana karma narvitam anukalena krishnanu shilanam bhaktar uttama. This is the Paribhasya Sutra. This is the essential seed verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, from which the whole book evolves, in which Srila Rupa Goswami, the Rasacharya, has very nicely described what is pure devotional service. That is, such service is performed without any desire for fruit of gain, personal liberation, mystic powers, but it's done for Krishna for his pleasure only. This concept of religion is unique to our Gaudiya Vaishnav tradition. In Western countries, people are thinking that relationship with God is that he's the order supplier. When we need something, we go to the church, the temple, the mosque, and we ask for it, and God's the supreme creator, and his storehouse is very big. He's got a lot of bread up there, so we ask him for our daily bread, and it comes down to his channels like this. That is the general concept of God, that he's, Prabhupada said, he's the order supplier, which he is, but he's more than that, just like a young child. He knows that father is responsible for maintaining. When I was in the Grihastha Ashram, sometimes my sharp little intelligent son, Goshakti, he would remind me that, Pita, it's your duty to provide these things for me because you're my father. So if I'm hungry, you have to make arrangements. If I want a red bicycle, you're my daddy. You're obliged. Where else can I get? So people think of God, the Supreme Father, like that, which he is, but he's more than that. The relationship can go much deeper than that. So in Western countries, generally, this is the idea of God, that he's there to fulfill our needs. And even in India, prior to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, generally people saw the Absolute Truth as someone who could fulfill their desires materially or spiritually for mystic powers or liberation. But with the appearance of Madhavendra Puri, he revealed to the world the understanding of pure Braja Bhakti, where one doesn't ask anything of the Lord but just wants to serve the Lord's desires. And that was further embellished upon by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And through his students, through his disciples, the six Goswami, we have a elaboration on that concept of pure devotional service to the Lord through their teachings, through Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Linamani, so many books of the Goswamis where this concept of pure devotional service is described, where Prabhupada said that the gopis, they never asked anything from Krishna. So a person with a poor fund of knowledge may wonder, but if I just serve Krishna, ask nothing, expect nothing from him, then who will take care of me? And Krishna answers that in Gita. Yogikshemam bhamyaham. For my devotee, I protect whatever he has and I provide whatever he needs for the fully surrendered soul. The Lord takes charge and maintains that devotee. So there's no anxiety, there's nothing to worry about. So we should pray like that. Although we have material desires in our heart still, we shouldn't act on those desires, but we should follow in the footsteps of devotees. We should follow in the footsteps of the Lord and pray for this pure devotional service. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavicham va jagadisha kamae mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti ahaitaki toye. Even though that's not our desire at this moment, by practicing like that, it will become our desire. Practice makes perfect. Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth, and neither do I want to enjoy beautiful women or handsome boys. I don't want any pratishta, any fame. I only want that I might have your pure devotional service in my life, birth after birth. Mama janmani jamani ishwari. Even I'm not so concerned about liberation from samsara. If it pleases you to remain here to fulfill your mission, I'll be happy to do so. I'm just concerned that your desire is satisfied. So even though we have the material desires, you'll never find in the prayer of a pure devotee anything personal. Although sometimes devotees, when they carefully study the scriptures, they do find certain devotees who are, it appears, asking the Lord for something for themselves, like Uttara. This is described in the Bhagavatam, that Uttara, she was the mother of Maharaj Parikshit. And prior to the birth of the child, there was the fighting between the Pandavas and the Kurus. And at one point, this rascal, Ashwatthama, he threw the Brahmastra weapon at Uttara. And she took shelter of the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. My Lord, in this world of birth and death, you are the only shelter. Please protect me. At least protect the child within my womb. So the Acharya's comment, although she's asking for protection, she's not actually asking for protection for herself, but she's asking for protection for her devotional service, which is to raise that child in Krishna consciousness. Because as we know, Maharaj Parikshit became a famous king in Vedic culture, and later on he was the receiver of the Srimad Bhagavatam from the great Shukadeva Goswami. So had not that Bhagavatam been spoken, what would we have known of Krishna consciousness? Great devotees, they place themselves in such situations so that we can hear the Bhagavatam, Arjuna, Maharaj Parikshit. They place themselves in somewhat compromising situations, embarrassing situations. They look like conditioned souls, but actually it's all their mercy. It's some lila, so that these transcendental scriptures can be spoken. So actually the Acharya state that her prayer was not something outside the realm of pure devotion, because she was asking for the protection of her child, who was a pure devotee. And similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he comments on the pastime of the deliverance of Gajendra, the elephant, that Gajendra was frolicking with his wives in a lusty mood in the river. He was playing with his wives, the she-elephants, in the river. And in the midst of all that frolicking, that that whimsical, sporting mood, he was bitten by a crocodile on his leg. And although he was a powerful elephant, and the crocodile was much smaller than him, because he was outside of his element, which means the land, he was in the terrain of the crocodile. The crocodile had more strength in the water. It was quite clear that he was going to lose the fight and he was going to die. So to save his life, he picked a lotus flower from the lake, the river, and he held it up to the heavens. And he remembered, at that dire moment, he remembered some prayers that he used to offer the Lord in a previous birth as a king. His name was King Indrajumna. And he was a devotee in that birth, and he remembered at that difficult moment these prayers came to mind, and he chanted those prayers. And he asked the Lord for protection from the elephant so he wouldn't be killed. So this appears not within the realm of pure devotion. We don't ask the Lord for anything for ourselves. We just ask for service to please the Lord. So here's this elephant asking for protection so he doesn't die. But this doesn't appear to be pure devotional service. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada mentions this in his own purports, because Prabhupada's purports were really an assimilation of the purports of previous acharyas. Prabhupada said, my only claim to fame is that I didn't change anything. I didn't add or subtract. I simply presented the philosophy as it is. So if you actually had, like Prabhupada had, the commentaries of Sridhar Swami on the Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, other acharyas as well have commented on the Baladev Bidyabhushana, different devotees, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, have commented on Bhagavatam Gita. If you had them, you'd see that really Prabhupada's purports were really just a combination of all these great acharyas. He would read them, and then he would, with his dictaphone, he would comment, he would summarize what they say, and sometimes he would add some little personal commentary or reference to something that happened in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Like in one purport, he says, "My disciple Govinda Dasi is so nicely taking care of the Tulsi plant, so she has my blessings." She's immortalized in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada refers to her devotional service like that. So Prabhupada just took the commentaries and summarized them, because what is the need to create something new? It's perfect and complete. Like that. Well, sometimes his own commentaries are very deep realizations in Krishna consciousness. So he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in that the deliverance of the Gajendra, the elephant. And he mentions there, he says that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that actually Gajendra's prayer is not it is within the realm of pure devotional service, because he's asking for protection so that, if you study his prayers carefully, that he can continue devotional service, which is for the pleasure of the Lord. In other words, if his service were to stop, it would in some way inconvenience the Lord. Just like if you have one servant and then he leaves, there's some inconvenience. Just like Gaurhari Prabhu, he's been my faithful servant for several months now. But he's a responsible devotee, and he's in the Grihastha ashram, so he has to have a griha. He can't keep living out of a suitcase, sleeping on the floor. So they have to be responsible, and children will come. But it's somewhat of an inconvenience for me. I'll never get as good a mridanga player. Maybe you can get mridanga players who are tiyatakanikiteka, boom, 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 but it's something very subtle, actually. You may know the beats, but you have to be an artist, actually. Artist means that something beyond just all the things you read in the books. It's just something comes with your birth. So he has a certain sense of the mridanga, so then when he leaves, and maybe I'll just stop doing kirtan for a while or something. Somebody comes along. So Krishna will provide, of course, but like that. So Gajendra was thinking, because, well, if I die, then maybe the Lord's service will be disturbed. So he's praying, let me live so that I can serve. What is the British have this airplane? They have their air forces. What is the motto of the British? To fly to serve, I think. You're Scottish, so you don't know these things. I think what is the British flying corps called? SAF or SFA? Yeah, and their motto is to fly to serve the Queen. So devotees like that, like there was a famous statement by the American President John F. Kennedy: "Ask not what your country can do for you; ask what you can do for your country." This is our idea of pure devotional service, according to Rupa Goswami. Ask not what God can do for you. Ask what you can do for God. It takes a little faith to give up everything and just serve Krishna. But then you'll have the practical experience that Krishna is always maintaining you. You'll be very happy in pure devotional service. So Gajendra, he had this sense, and he prayed to the Lord for protection. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that his prayer was not outside the realm of pure devotion, because he wanted the Lord's service not to be impeded. Just like Jai and Vijay, they were the guardians of the gates of Vaikuntha, and they made a little mistake. They didn't realize how the four Kumaras were actually great sages, and they wouldn't allow them into Vaikuntha. So the sages cursed them to take birth in the material world. So they were devastated. They had to leave their service to the Lord in Vaikuntha. But then Vishnu appeared. He said, okay, you can take 7 births as devotees or 3 births as demons. So you might think that being devotees, they would say, okay, seven births as devotees. They don't want to be demons. But they thought, if we take birth three times as demons, we'll be back here quicker. And we can continue with our service, and Lord Vishnu won't be inconvenienced, because he has to find a replacement for us. And we're very good at what we do. They said, sir, we'll take birth at three times as demons. Really? Yes, because it means we'll come back here twice as fast. Seven births as devotees means long time away. Who's going to give your prasad? Who's going to play your drum? Who's going to put your bed out? So they came back quickly. Of course, they had to take birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, as Kamsa and Shishupal, and later on, fourth time, as Jai and Vijay, Jagai and Madhai, like that. So this is devotee. Well, sometimes we see devotees, it appears they're praying for something personally, but actually in their heart of hearts, they're just it's a prayer so the Lord is not inconvenienced in that way. But this is our mission statement. You know, Stephen Covey, he had that book. So what is our mission statement? Annibilasita sunyam gana karma navitam anukalina krishnu shilanam bhaktu. Let us always perform, at least let us aspire one day to perform devotional service with no personal interest, no selfish interest, but only for the pleasure of Shishi Gornitai or Radha Krishna, whatever deities you or Ishtadevas are, any part of the world. We pray like that, and by praying like that, like the caterpillar, the ugly caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly. Our selfish material desires are purified and they go away, and one day we wake up with a desire for pure devotional service, and then our spiritual master will reveal, this is your form, this is your service to Krishna, so you meditate on this devotee. By meditating and following in the footsteps of that devotee, we learn how to serve him properly in that humor, in that rasa, in that mood. And then when we die, we don't go back to Godhead. You go to that planet in the universe where Krishna is performing his leelas, because they're continuous. And you take birth in the womb of a Vrindavan gopi, and then you get trained in that particular service to which you're aspiring. If you're a cowherd boy, how to herd the cows, how to wrestle with Krishna and play with it. If you're in the Vatsalya Ras, the parental mood, then you watch Ananda and Yashoda do their service, and you're like elderly gopi, and sometimes you take care of baby Krishna, or at least you see him in that mood. You don't become Nanda, you don't become Yashoda, but you have that humor of an elderly Krishna's young, and you have that motherly affection, or Madhurya Rasa, and you practice. And when you're perfectly practiced and expert, then and only then you go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So, it's a long way to Tripurari, it's a long, long way to go. It's a long way to Tripurari, na 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 na. But we will get there. Slow but steady wins the race by, we're still at the starting line. The gun is just fired. On your marks, get set. Go. I think here you say in this part of the world, on your marks, get steady, go. I heard like that in England, in the UK, United Kingdom, Scotland. On your marks, get steady, go. So we're like, you know, get steady. We're just getting ready to start the race. But we have this nice map from Shraddha to Prema by the mercy of our acharyas so that we know exactly which step to take at the right time on the way back home, back to Godhead. Grantara Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Go Premanandi.